Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day will bring forth." Unlike most other proverbs in chapters 10 through 29 that display synonymous, antithetic, or synthetic parallelism, this proverb presents what is called formal parallelism, which is where the two lines flow together to form a single thought. The single thought that is being addressed here deals with boasting, and the proverb doesn't have a positive outlook toward this action. We can see a causal connection with the conjunction for in the second half of the proverb that gives the basis for why boasting is not good. The reason is that you do not know what the day will bring forth. Well, which day is it talking about? We find the answer to that question in the first part of the verse where the object of boasting is specified. Do not boast about tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't just designate solely the day immediately following today, but can be viewed in more general terms as referring to the future. It could be the next day, or a few days from now, or a week from now, or longer. Furthermore, tomorrow is actually a metonymy. A metonymy is a figure of speech in which a word or words are used in place of another word or words, based upon a particular association or relationship between the two. The proverb is not prohibiting boasting about tomorrow in reference to it as a point in time, but rather it is denouncing boasting about what tomorrow will consist of. Tomorrow figuratively represents the events that will happen in the future, such as potential circumstances, desired outcomes and experiences, specific accomplishments or feats, such as financial or commercial gain and prosperity, perhaps social advancement, military victory, or other events and situations in life. Therefore, the meaning of the proverb is that people shouldn't boast about what is going to happen in the future. And the reason is because no one knows what that day will bring forth. As humans, we can't know what is going to happen in the future. No one knows the future except God. So why would we be so confident as to boast about what is going to happen tomorrow? To give a little more insight about what it means to boast, the Hebrew word translated boast, it means essentially to praise. In a positive sense, it is used often about boasting in Yahweh in the Old Testament. However, in a negative sense, it represents an arrogant attitude, characteristic of wicked people. In the book of Proverbs, boasting is viewed as a demonstration of one's pride and arrogance. Such dispositions and attitudes are placed in the category of being evil, wicked, and foolish. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before disaster, and a puffed up spirit before stumbling." Proverbs 16:5 says, "Every arrogant heart is an abomination to Yahweh." And Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise person fears and turns aside from evil, but a fool acts arrogantly and is overconfident." There is a record in the Old Testament that exemplifies the sort of arrogant heart that is offensive to God. In 1 Kings chapter 20, we read about a king named Ben-Hadad who boasted of being victorious in battle before the fighting even started. In chapter 20, it says, "Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and fought against it. He sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, 'This is what Ben-Hadad says, your silver and your gold is mine. Your wives also and your children, even the best, are mine.' The king of Israel answered, 'Just as you say, my lord, O king, I am yours and all that I have.' The messengers came again and said, 'Ben-Hadad says, I sent to you saying, you are to deliver me your silver and your gold and your wives and your children. But I will send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they will search your house and the houses of your servants. And it will be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, they will put it in their hand and take it away.' Then the king of Israel called the elders of the land and said, 'Notice now and see that this man is only looking for trouble. For he sent to me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I didn't deny him.' All the elders and all the people said to him, 'Do not listen to him or consent to his demands.' Therefore, he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, 'Tell my lord the king, all that you demanded of your servant the first time, I will do, but this thing I cannot do.' The messengers departed and brought him back the message. Ben-Hadad sent to him and said, "The gods do so to me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria will suffice for handfuls for all the people who follow me." The king of Israel answered, "Tell him, do not let him who puts on his armor brag like he who takes it off." It came to pass, when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said to his servants, "Prepare to attack!" They prepared to attack the city. So King Ben-Hadad here, he boasted of himself and his military strength, and how he would demolish King Ahab and all of Israel in the city of Samaria. He even called down a curse upon himself if he is unsuccessful in defeating Israel, when he says, "The gods do so to me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria will suffice for handfuls for all the people who follow me." What he is threatening is to beat Samaria so thoroughly as to make it a heap of dust. And furthermore, in bragging about how large of army he has, Ben-Hadad says that after he has ground Samaria to a pulp, there won't even be enough dust for each of his soldiers to scoop up a handful, because he has too many men. Well, King Ahab of Israel then responds by saying, "Do not let him who puts on his armor brag like he who takes it off." Essentially warning Ben-Hadad not to be like a soldier who is getting ready to go to war and is already bragging about their upcoming victory, in the same way that a soldier returning from war can brag about a victory they just achieved. The modern equivalent of this expression might be, "Don't count your chickens before they hatch." Ahab is basically telling Ben-Hadad, don't boast about something that hasn't yet happened. Well, what happens is, after hearing this snarky reply from Ahab, Ben-Hadad commands his army to get in position to attack. But Ahab of Israel is the one who makes the first move. While Ben-Hadad is still drinking with the kings in the tents, Ahab sends out the servants of the governors along with his army, and they fight against and defeat Ben-Hadad and the Syrians. Ben-Hadad presented himself as a luxurious and insolent braggart who boasted of his great army and how they would pulverize Samaria. But then, while he is eating and drinking himself drunk, Ahab attacks and completely crushes the Syrians. This record is a great example of the proverb in action, and it actually contains a similar proverb as well. Both Proverbs 27 and 1 Kings 20 verse 10 are saying, don't talk big about something that hasn't happened yet. It is foolish to boast about what may never come to pass. This admonition is also expressed by writers in the New Testament, probably most clearly by James in chapter 4 of his letter. James chapter 4 verses 13 through 16 read, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city, and spend a year there, and do business, and make a profit. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wants, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogant plans. All such boasting is evil." First, James is not condemning making plans about the future or anticipating certain actions or events. Preparing for the future and planning accordingly, and especially for contingencies, is a very wise thing to do. Jesus says, "For which of you, wanting to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, and see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and could not finish.' Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not first sit down and take counsel and see if he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? If not, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace." That's Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 32. What we can conclude is that James is not suggesting that we neglect to plan or prepare for the future. Rather, what is at issue is an attitude problem when planning or anticipating the future. James is coming against an arrogant attitude about the future. He calls having this sort of inordinate confidence and certainty about the future, thinking that everything will surely come to pass in the way that it was conceived, as something evil. He says, all such boasting is evil. Why is it evil? It is evil because such smug confidence in one's own knowledge and abilities flies in the face of trusting God. To be confident in yourself and your plans is to remove God from the sphere of your life and in looking to Him to lead you. It is ridiculous to put such misplaced confidence in something as unknown as the future, and especially our ability as meager humans to know what it may bring. Things tomorrow can turn out vastly different than we could ever predict. Therefore, it is utterly foolish to put any degree of certainty in what will happen tomorrow. Take, for example, mighty Goliath, the Philistine warrior, when he came to fight against David, who was simply a young shepherd boy. This Old Testament record is a superb example of seeing how the future can turn out much different than is expected. When the Philistine army came to fight with Israel, David was the only one willing to go out and fight Goliath. Upon seeing young David approach him, Goliath said with a haughty and contemptuous tone, "Come here, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." That's in 1 Samuel 17, verse 44. I'm pretty sure that there was no doubt in Goliath's mind that he could easily take on little David. But what happened? As they ran toward each other to engage in combat, David launched a stone from his sling that struck Goliath square in the forehead, ending the fight instantly with one blow. I don't think anyone saw that coming. What a reversed outcome compared to what one might expect upon observing the circumstances and obvious differences in strength and experience between David and Goliath. I would now like to describe a more modern scenario to illustrate the proverb for us today. I'd like to share an example that deals with certain businesses who boast about the future as a means by which they persuade others to join them. Businesses naturally project or forecast future sales as a way to plan for manufacturing and production, as well as using it as a tactic for enticing investors to see the potential of the business. But when it comes to financial investments, some people use a marketing strategy that is based upon asserting their ability to predict future market behavior. However, every investment consultant does this to some degree or another. But if you have taken it to the extreme and have duped gullible individuals into investing with them, all based upon their boasting of fortunes made through successfully predicting the future. Connor Walsh is a young financial investment entrepreneur in Manchester, England, who claims to be living the big life on account of his success in trading foreign currency, often called Forex, meaning foreign exchange. He is considered to be a social media influencer, having over 138,000 followers on Instagram, where he will often post extravagant pictures of himself with a Ferrari or Lamborghini in places like Dubai, or just hanging around in his luxurious 3 million pound mansion in Prestbury, Cheshire, sipping on cocktails. His pitch is that you too can live like a king by trading foreign currency. He boasts of how simple and easy it is, and that if you get involved, he can help you make a lot of money like he did. Walsh is the owner of the company Direct Forex Signals, which he claims to be the largest Forex trading company in England. In addition, Walsh claims that 89% of his investment signals are successful, and the analysts at Direct Forex Signals say that they, quote, ensure that every trade will go the way we predict, end quote. Walsh strongly advocates that his lockdown challenge, he calls it, which is turning an investment of just £250 into £5,000, is an opportunity to see how much money you can make during a very short period of time. Well, Forex trades, what they are investments based upon differences in present currency values between world economies. And on account of volatile market fluctuations, they are notoriously high-risk investments. Furthermore, a lot of Forex platforms allow you to leverage your money and make a larger investment than simply the value of your initial capital. Since Forex trades are based on differences in currency fluctuations, you don't actually ever own any physical asset or foreign currency. It's all virtual. One thing that Walsh probably doesn't tell his investors is that Direct Forex Signals is not in good standing with the FCA, the Financial Conduct Authority, which is the governing agency that regulates financial investment firms in England. Direct Forex Signals has been on the FCA's warning list since December of 2018. They released a statement concerning Direct Forex Signals saying, quote, "This is a firm that we have been told is either operating regulated activities without the correct authorization or is running a scam. We strongly advise you avoid dealing with unauthorized firms like this," end quote. However, Walsh responded by saying that his signals for when to invest are not providing financial advice and thus are not illegal. He further states that he makes it clear to his customers that his signals are not investment advice, but an insight into a live trading environment. Well, whether direct Forex signals is compliant with all regulations in England or not for financial investment firms, that's not the point. The problem is what the firm is trying to sell: excessive confidence in predicting future market behavior that will result in an exceptionally high rate of return on the investment. They boast of being able to accurately predict market behavior and that they can just tell you when to invest so that you can benefit from their superior predictive intuition and analysis. But predicting future market behavior for foreign currency is not as easy as Walsh makes it sound. According to the FCA, regulated foreign exchange investment firms in England often report that 75 to 80% of their accounts lose money and that investors have lost more than £1 billion trading foreign currency in 2018. Companies like Direct Forex Signals prey upon gullible individuals who see people like Connor Walsh portraying an extravagant lifestyle and are persuaded by his boasting in being able to accurately predict the market. They are enamored by such characters and what they were able to achieve and are captivated by the dream that they too can also obtain fortunes and live the big life. One such individual was 28-year-old Gary Wilson, who is a telecoms engineer in Motherwell, Glasgow. Wilson saw advertisements from influencers like Walsh, who paraded around on social media boasting of their riches and the ability to teach you how to make a lot of money like they did through accurately predicting the foreign currency market. Wilson thought he could win financial freedom and even quit his job. Last year in 2019, Wilson deposited £500, which is just a little over $600, to invest with a Forex investment guru named Kieran Hamilton. Wilson said within the first 2 days, he made £160. But then in the following weeks, it was loss after loss until the full £500 was blown. Wilson then invested another £350 with a different influencer named Dan Legg, who, like the others, advertised massive returns on investments. Wilson was told to copy the trades that Legg was making. Well, months later, still not seeing the returns that he was promised on his investment, Wilson looked into both Hamilton and Legg and realized that they were not endorsed and regulated by the FCA. This was very disturbing to Wilson, and he decided to withdraw his investments. Luckily, he was able to get his initial deposit back from Legg after threatening to report him to the FCA. Stories like Gary Wilson's are abundant. The attraction of being able to make a lot of money in a short amount of time, the boasting of accumulated wealth by influencers like Connor Walsh and others, and the promise by such individuals that they will share their secrets to predicting the future of the market all culminate in a very deceptive package that lures unsuspecting people into their trap. What I think we should take away from this is that the future is difficult to predict. And countless people have lost incredible amounts of money based on the assumption that they can predict it. Now, don't get me wrong, financial investments are not foolish in and of themselves. What is foolish is putting too much credit in thinking that any person or company has such exceptional foresight into what is going to happen tomorrow. We can't know the future, and to put confidence in thinking that we can is completely foolish. The wise person doesn't boast about his future plans or investments. Instead, a wise person lives day by day, trusting in God and the plans that he is bringing about, knowing that God will provide and take care of us regardless of what happens tomorrow. We don't need to boast about tomorrow because we know the one who holds tomorrow in his hand.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.